Have your Bibles tonight. I invite you to open them with me to the book of Proverbs. Someone says the book of Proverbs will make you a happy, healthy, and successful Christian. And I believe it to be so because there are so many wonderful words of wisdom that's found in this book of Proverbs. Tonight in Proverbs chapter 4, you'll find that Solomon is writing words or giving words to his son. I realize that Solomon in his middle years drifted away from the Lord, but he did come back to the Lord, and we're reminded that Solomon possessed great wisdom. He was a great sage that did speak words of wisdom. It says in verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 4, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and help to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You know, as you look at that statement here concerning the heart, understand that over 800 times in the Old Testament, you'll find that's that word heart. 200 times it's referred to the mind. And we find here that I believe that Solomon is telling that his son to guard his heart or to guard his thoughts. And tonight, for a few moments, we want to talk to you about guarding our thought life. Guarding our thought life. As a matter of fact, he continues to write, "Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all the ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." What we are in our hearts, we are. Turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And look what the Bible says to us in verse 7 of chapter 23 of Proverbs. "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As we look concerning kind of like getting our thoughts where we need to be. And you know, as we think about guarding our hearts, you know, as we pray, we need to guard our thought life. I think that's why if you turn to Matthew chapter 6, Jesus admonished us to find a quiet time. Find a quiet time. Find a quiet place that we can go and talk to the Lord and just have our thoughts upon the Lord. Have you ever prayed sometimes, just being honest, and your thoughts just wasn't with the Lord? We were praying words, but we wasn't really thinking of the Lord. And he says in Matthew 6, verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." That's that quiet place. That's that secret place that we have with the Lord. As someone might describe it today, as that quiet time. And every one of us need a quiet time with the Lord each day. And he says, "When you've shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." That quiet time when our full thought pattern, our full heart is upon the Lord. And so as we pray, make sure we have that quiet time when thoughts are upon the Lord. When we study, the same way, that our thoughts might be upon the Lord. Has there ever been a time in your life or times when you open the Bible and it just seems so hard for you to find those things? And, you know, when it comes down to it, in reality, our thoughts, our hearts were not on the study of God's Word, were not on the Lord. They were on other things. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. And listen what the psalmist says in Psalm, I believe, the first chapter. And really, we want to center in on verse 2, but we'll read verses 1 through 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He pondereth the things of God as he studies God's word. So there's that quiet time that we come, that our thoughts must be upon the Lord and his word. And then, you know, as we even think of our worship, worship is a time of praise, but worship is also a quiet time. Quiet time with the Lord. We've come together to worship, but yet we've come individually to worship the Lord also. And as we come, you have to keep in mind that the devil and this world is there to battle and to occupy our minds. And I think many times in our lives, we just need to prepare our hearts, every time should be, to worship. Turn to Psalm 139. We use this often as we look, and I like to use this verse. But in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, you probably can quote these verses, but listen what the Bible says in verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So, guarding our thought life. You know, sometimes we might say, well, you know, I'd just be embarrassed if my thoughts and my heart were put on the screen and shown. Well, you know, Peter told the Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful or wicked man. And, you know, we have to all admit that sometimes our thought life might embarrass us. Oh, me, even as we come to the house of God and we're sitting there or standing here. You know, as I stand and share God's word, or Brother Billy or any other preacher stands and shares God's word, his thoughts, his hearts must be upon God and the message that God has placed on his heart. It can't be wondering to the crowd. I mean, you look out there and you say, well, I see empty pews. Well, you can't let that thought pattern drift out there. You've got to do what? Keep your heart and thoughts upon the Lord. As sitting there to be receptive to God's word, many times we're there and our thoughts, our hearts might be upon the job that we've got to do tomorrow, what we're going to do next week, or what problem or what circumstance we're dealing with in our lives. And many times they challenge us for that place. Yet our hearts must be maintained upon the Lord. I want you to note three things with me tonight about guarding our thought life. Guarding our thought life. First of all, the majesty of the thought life, and that simply means the control or the reign of the thought life. Our attitude, our actions, our achievement derives from the thoughts of our hearts. You can put an equal sign out by them, and you can simply say the sum of our life by what our thoughts are, as we keep them with the Lord. You know, as you go back, turn to Genesis chapter 6. And you'll find that God eradicated, God destroyed, you might say, a society in life, the people in the world except eight. Because why? The Bible says in Genesis 6:5 that, listen, God was grieved. It burned the Lord as he had created man, because why? The thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. The thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. Now you think about that, folk. Here in the days of Noah, here in the days where they didn't have TV, here in the days when there was no internet for them to play on, for them to dull in mischievousness or evilness, yet the Bible says that the thoughts of their hearts was on evil continually. Amazing, isn't it? You would think in a place like this, as you would think about hadn't the world, as you might say, degraded to that point, that it would not be so bad. Yet it was. Remember, Jesus said in the book of Matthew 24, as in the days of Noah were, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. And one of the things that you look at is his heart upon evil and evil things. One of the things that I noticed in going through the, as you might say, the creation museum that we all kind of were attentive of was the serpent as it beguiled Eve. We were looking at that serpent and we found that old serpent, you might say, started out with a tree, you know, as he came. Well, the Bible says the serpent was what? He was subtle. And the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that who is that old serpent? That old serpent is the devil. And even in Noah's day, the devil controlled the world, didn't he? He was the god of this world. And as you look, one of the things that the devil seeks to control is the minds and hearts of people. What people think about. What people think about. And remember that in the days of Noah, man was so busy drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, that they really didn't have time to think about God, did they? Or didn't take time, let me put it that way, didn't take time to think about God. And folk, listen, that was evil and what it derided came from. We are living in those days when people are so occupied with the world that is controlled by Satan, that God is not in the minds of people. Rather, folk, listen, than the evil things of this world that occupies the thoughts and the hearts of people today. Look what the Bible says today in the book of Romans chapter 12. God must change our mind. God must change, and he will change and transform our minds. The Bible says in Romans 12, and we'll go back and read verse 1, talks about the world. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Now, I want you to hold your finger right there, right quickly. Wasn't going to use it, but I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I want you to find verses 16 and 17 of the book of 1 John chapter 2. You say, Brother Danny, the world. Sunday morning, Lord willing, I'm going to speak on the subject. What's wrong with the world? Well, what kind of world are we talking about? 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Listen what he says. He says to us in verse 16, for all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, folks, you can just underline this statement. If it's not of God, who's it going to be of? Satan. If it's not of God, which is good, for every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. If it's not of God, then it's what? Evil. And listen what he says. He says, and the world passeth away, the evil, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, folk, as we know, when God saves us, he saves us, and he saves our souls. But he leaves us in this world. Amen? We're left here in the world. And one of the things we have to learn in our Christian life, living here in this world, we're subjective to the lust of it, to the evilness of it, still in our lives. And then knowing that, look what he says in verse 2. Be not conformed, pushed into its image. But he says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has to renew our minds. God has to transform us. And in transforming us and renewing us, he's doing what? He's changing the way we think. Didn't you change the way you thought after you came to Christ? I did. I changed the way I thought after I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And prayerfully, continually, he's transforming that mind, that thought of that heart. Before I was saved, I never thought on God. Before I was saved, the world continually controlled my mind and heart. But folk, after the Lord saved me, there was a change. I began to set my thoughts on things above. Things above. Think on things above. And therefore, by looking, and we're seeing just a moment how that we can be changed, we begin to think on the Lord and think on godly things. You know, you've heard it said, and I'll say it again. I'd rather be in a house with 10, 2 or 3 that have their thoughts on God and their hearts on God than a house full with their thoughts running here and there and their thoughts on the world. Amen. I'd rather be that, because you're going to be in a place where the worship of God can be felt and the presence of God can be felt in our lives. Our thoughts, help them be guarded. Guarded from this world and guided to the things of the Lord. Turn back again to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, the majesty of our lives. The mastery of our thought life. How can we master this thought life that puts our hearts upon the Lord? Well, I believe, again, that quiet time with the Lord. And I believe it's burying ourselves in the Word of God. As someone says, saturating yourself in God's Word. Let me pause once again here. We live in a world that it is more challenging today to find time to get in to the Word of God. Would you agree? Because everything is doing what? Snapping at you. Everything is grabbing at you, wanting your time. Amen? You and most of you have a job. That job demands your thoughts, right? Have you ever made the statement, you make a blunder on the job or something, you say, well, I just wasn't thinking. I just didn't have my thoughts on what I was doing. Ever said that? I've said that many times. I just didn't have my thoughts on what I was doing. And we get in trouble. Well, our thoughts ought to be, as we note, as we come to do the things of God, our thoughts ought to be upon the Lord. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, thy word have I hid. Where are we hiding it, folk? We're hiding it in our hearts and our thoughts, that I might not sin against thee. Saturating ourselves with the word of God. We're to be like a sponge that soaks up the word of God. Soaks it up. You know, our lives many times, and I look, and the study of the Word of the Lord ought to excite us all, and we ought to love to do it as a child of God. Sometimes the devil can make us anemic. Sometimes the world can make us anemic to God's Word. But you know, you find yourself in a fix sometimes, and I find myself today, as I've often said, as just wasting away in a world that I don't understand anymore. You know, I always wanted to study, had a desire to, after I was saved and God called me to preach, to go and to study, and God allowed me to do it, to go and to study, and then I wanted more. So I listened to preachers that would expositorily take chapter by chapter, verse by verse series, and I really desired to do that. And I found a school that they allowed you to study and to help you. And you know something, folk? Got through all of that, now have come to a place that the majority of the world and the majority of the church don't want to hear God's word. Now, isn't that a fix we're in today? That's a fix, isn't it? That we're in a world that just simply doesn't want to hear the word of God. But thank God for those that want to soak it up. Thank God for those that just want to. I mean, it just blesses their heart. I'll never will forget the second church that ever preached that. There was a lady, and she was sitting in the off audience. And, you know, I preached at that little church all for a few months, and she would sit there and just cry. You say, Brother Danny, what she was doing was just trying to endear how bad you were. Probably was. But you know what? She helped me. You say, what do you mean? She blessed me that it looked like what I was saying was a blessing to her heart. Amen. It was a blessing to her heart. And you can see. Well, the soaking, the being saturated by God's word helps us control our thoughts. Today, and I realize that we're living in a different age. Today, and I don't think people are as interested as they used to be in television. Most of you sitting here today, you don't watch TV that much as you used to, right? Most of you don't. Most of us don't find things on TV that's entertaining anymore, I'll be honest with you. But you know, there's a new phase that's coming now. And that phase is what? Amen? Oh, me? Sister Jill? Other night, Sister Jill, and I'm not telling this on, we're all. Sister Jill got in front of me. It's amazing what all she had on there. It's amazing. But you know, we're all, folks, let's just be, we all have the things that try to crowd our thoughts. Amen, it does. It just tries to crowd our thoughts, that we can't find that quiet time in our thoughts, in our hearts with the Lord anymore. So you can master it by trying to bury oneself studying God's word. And then last of all, look again back at Proverbs chapter 4. I was just funning with you, Sister Jill. Don't get mad at me. Look what the Bible says in verse 24. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips far from thee. Now, I want you to note something. The ministry of a thought life. And what is that ministry? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That is to minister that God, through us, it gives us some things. And there's three things that Solomon mentions here. First of all, he says, listen, a proper thought life will govern your speech. And it will. It will govern our speech. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Listen to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to read verse 34 through 37. Jesus says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For now listen, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, folks, you can get around a person, and just in a little while, by their speech, you can kindly detect what's on their heart, what's in their mind. Do you know that? You really can. You can kind of get an idea of what that person's treasure is and about them. And so Jesus says, out of the heart proceedeth what? Words. If our hearts and our thoughts are good, good words will come. If they're evil, evil words will come. As I thought on this, I couldn't but think of a man in Hamilton. I won't call his name. But he went to church on Sunday. But you would go visit him in his business. And folk, every word that came out of his mouth was vile. Just vile. I mean, what? The thoughts of his heart. It didn't matter if he said under the word, the thoughts of his heart was only evil. And you could tell where his heart, really where his life was. Then listen what he says. He says also in verse 25, let thine eyes look right and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Guard your sight, what we look at. Job said, I've made a covenant to what to look at. And as we look and as we, it can control us, or looking into the things of God, it controls us in the spiritual way. Be careful. And then look at the last statement. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all the ways be established. Listen what the Bible says in Psalm 119:133. Order my steps in thy word. Order my steps in thy word. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my thoughts. And cleanse me if there be any wickedness in my heart. And so tonight, folk, it does matter what you think. It does matter where our minds stay. We ought to put our minds on the Lord and not get them in the gutter of this old world. Now turn to the book of Philippians, and I'll close with this thought. Goodness, Philippians. And look what the Bible says, as Paul says in the book of Philippians, as he writes concerning thinking positive things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on good things. Think on godly things. And folk, there's where our thought life ought to rise, on the Lord and on the things of the Lord.